Now, the Vikings don't fall into this very putrid category because they picked Christian Ponder 12th.
Yes.
But think about this. The Tennessee Titans of the AFC South picked Jake Locker 8th.
Yes. Right.
The Jacksonville Jaguars of the AFC South traded up and took Blaine Gabbert 10th.
Correct. Even worse.
Next on the clock, the Houston Texans, who selected J.J. Watt.
Right.
So every time they see J.J. Watt for the next decade, they're going to be reminded of the fact, both teams, half of the AFC South, we could have had J.J. Watt, and we reached for a quarterback. That's the problem. Everybody's so desperate to get a franchise quarterback, they're going to reach for quarterbacks. It's better to try to find that Russell Wilson later in the draft.
Main man.
Maybe it worked out well that Derek Carr had that terrible bowl game, because before that, I think there was a lot of talk that he would be a first half of the first day kind of quarterback and somebody the Vikings would have entertained at 8. But that game, you finally got him against good competition. Carr played really badly, and now the talk is that he might be there for the Vikings at 40.
Of course, then there's the reality that he didn't play well in the bowl game, which could maybe make the Vikings less inclined to take a chance on him, because you don't want that to happen on your watch either. So this is all part of the very convoluted game of chess, checkers, and chicken as to what you do with those picks. And if you pick this guy, is the other guy you like going to be there the next time you pick? And what kind of smoke screens can you send out? And they're already starting the process. The Rams, this failure to be unequivocal about Sam Bradford, their quarterback. Why should they be? They got the second overall pick in the draft. Don't let anybody know what you're thinking about your quarterback. Make it look like maybe you're not sold on him, because then maybe somebody thinks you're going to take a quarterback with number two. So I think that's the smart play. It's frustrating for our purposes, because the best answer is either a non-answer or a complete and total misdirection to any question any of these guys get asked.
Three of the first four teams in the draft have got quarterback need, and as you mentioned, the Rams could be in the business of dealing two, and that would give you really four picks. It seems like it's a three quarterback draft. So if the Vikings want to move from 8 into the top three or four to get one of those three quarterbacks, what kind of compensation do you think it would require?
Think back to 2012. The Washington Redskins gave up three first round picks and a second round pick to move up four spots from number 6 to number 2 to get Robert Griffin III. If you would attach Daniel Snyder, the owner of the team, or Bruce Allen, the GM, to a polygraph machine right now, I'd love to know what they'd say. Would you do it again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything you know now, the playoff appearance in his rookie year, the failed 2013 season, would you do it again, or would you have just gone with a Kirk Cousins and kept those picks and made your team better and built for the future with a nucleus of great young talent and players? You're talking about two future first-round picks gone because they had to have RG3. So when you look at that as the most recent precedent, then the question becomes, and maybe that's not the market now, but the problem is, for whoever trades down, you're going to get criticized at home in your market by your fans and your media for not doing the deal that the Rams did. That becomes an impediment. The Rams did such a good deal 2 years ago, it becomes an impediment to doing a deal now, because then you have to explain why the RG3 trade was different than this one.
But the RG3 trade was different because RG3 was a really unique talent. You know, if RG3 was entering this draft class, he would be the obvious number one choice, right?
Well, but what's Johnny Manziel? Is Johnny Manziel a really unique talent? I think he's a really unique talent.
Not like RG3 was coming out of school.
Well, RG3 was kind of the surprise out of nowhere guy in his last year at Baylor and won the Heisman Trophy and almost caught Andrew Luck. Manziel was the guy in 2012. We kind of forgot about him this past year because his team didn't have a high level of success. He had some great games. He had that game for the ages against Alabama. And like Mike Mayock says, there are a couple of games that you put on from Johnny Manziel, and it's like it just
undraftable.
Doesn't look good at all. Undraftable.
Right. Yeah.
That's a little bit of a risk there. My big concern about Johnny Manziel, when I saw, and we talked about this before, how he got banged around by Duke in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. If you get hit like that, if you get hit square like that by NFL players, you're not going to last very long.
What did you think when Manziel recently said, and I think I saw it at ProFootballTalk.com, where he basically said, Houston, paraphrasing, you don't take me first overall, I'm hoping the Jacksonville Jaguars draft me so I can make you pay the rest of my career.
That's a little twist on the Peyton Manning power play with the Colts in 1998. He told Bill Polian, the former GM, just that.
Yeah.
If you don't take me, I'm going to whip your butt, and I don't think he said butt, every chance I get for the next 15 years. That's a sobering thought, and you like to see that fire.
I mean, you do like to see that, right? I mean, even though you're kind of insulting that, you know, but they love that.
Right? I love
it. Everybody in the front office loves to hear that.
With
stuff.
All the limitations, and look, who knows how any of these guys are going to translate at the NFL level? That's part of the fun of this. We think we can figure it out, but we can't, because we know that by the time we get to September, first of all, we're going to forget all this stuff we've been talking about from February until May anyway. But once you put the guys out there on the field with NFL-caliber talent, the best of the best that college football's had to offer for the last decade, that's when you find out who can rise and who will hit that ceiling. There's a ceiling for every guy coming out of college football. There's a ceiling somewhere between NCAA Division I and the Hall of Fame. Where is the ceiling? We have no – for every one of these guys, we have no idea where that ceiling is. Look at John Randall, undrafted in 1990, Hall of Fame. Or 89. 90? When was he drafted? 90.
90.
Yeah, well, he was undrafted.
He was undrafted.
Yeah, John, from Texas, what became Texas A&M Kingsville, yeah. Same place that Al Harris went cornerback.
We don't know where any of these guys are ultimately going to turn out, and that's part of the fun of it.